Welcome back to the Wobcast, another edition coming to you from Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. I am your host, Mike Wobshaw. Producer Mike Harris joins me as he always does. We come to you in the midst of the off season, but as you know by now, that doesn't mean there's a lack of action. There's a lot going on. We're going to get into some of it with Tammy Krause, the Minnesota Vikings cheerleader coach, head coach. She's going to come into the studio and talk MVC tryouts. They're in the middle right now of deciding who's going to be on the MVC team for 2012. It's a cool process. Tammy has had a really cool and long career here with the Vikings. We're going to talk about that later. First, though, I want to get into the NFL schedule release. It's supposedly going to happen next week. There's a lot of speculation. It could be Tuesday. We don't know for sure when it's going to happen. I think the speculation is probably correct that it's going to happen next week, and it's a really cool talker for everyone, especially for the Vikings coming off that 3-13 season in 2011. The schedule release is our first tangible piece of the 2012 season that we can talk about, get excited about. It comes right before the draft. That leads us into the offseason program and the rookie mini camp. So a lot of really fun and cool things coming up. The schedule release is the next big thing on the calendar. I hope it's next week. Some of the highlights: the Vikings go on the road to Washington and Indianapolis this year. So almost assuredly, Vikings fans will get to see a firsthand look at Robert Griffin III, the Baylor quarterback who's probably going to go to Washington, and then Andrew Luck, who's supposed to go number one overall to the Colts. We'll get a good look at those guys. The home schedule, the highlights, I think. How about welcoming Randy Moss back to Mall of America Field? The San Francisco 49ers come to town. Moss signed with them as a free agent this offseason. And then a cool matchup between Adrian Peterson, the best running back in the NFL, and Chris Johnson of the Tennessee Titans. The Titans come to Mall of America Field at some point in 2012, so we'll get to see Adrian and Chris Johnson square off. Speaking of really sweet running backs, Adrian Peterson and Chris Johnson will be playing at Mall of America Field in 2012, and how about this list of running backs who will also come to Mall of America Field? Frank Gore with the 49ers, Maurice Jones-Drew with Jacksonville, Matt Forte with the Chicago Bears, and maybe Trent Richardson, the best running back in this year's draft. A lot of people say he's going to go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at fifth overall. Tampa Bay comes to Mall of America Field in 2012. And even if Tampa Bay doesn't take Richardson, they have the fifth overall pick. It could be Morris Claiborne. It could be Justin Blackmon. It's definitely going to be an exciting player. And if it's Richardson, it just adds to that list of tremendous running backs playing at our home stadium this year. We'll get into more of that next week, when hopefully I'm over this stupid cold that I have and I sound normal. And PA, radio voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen's going to come in and chat about the Vikings schedule with us, talk about what it means for our season. Do we have a hard schedule, an easy schedule? How do the home and away games stack up? Do we have three consecutive home games late in the season, which we had in 2009 and was a big advantage for us in building the lead in the NFC North? Do we have a bunch of road games late in the season? That's a challenge as you're trying to round out your season and hopefully finish strongly. How about the cold weather games? When do we play at Chicago? When do we play at Green Bay? We play at Seattle. We play at Washington. Those can be cold weather games. So all that stuff, we're going to talk about it next week, so make sure you join us for the Wobcast. PA is going to be in studio. For now, though, let's get to this week's guest, and that is the lovely Tammy Krause. She is entering her 15th season with the Minnesota Vikings. She started as a cheerleader for one season, was asked to take over the squad as a head coach. She steps into the studio and joins us on the Wobcast. Tammy, this is a big deal because you're like right in the middle of deciding what your team is going to be for next season. This is like having Rick Spielman in the week before the draft, which we're going to do. We have the MVC head coach in studio as you're deciding next year's team. How's it going, Tammy?
It's going great. It is an exciting time of year.
Yeah.
Oftentimes people are like, oh, how's the offseason going? And they don't realize this is my busiest time of the year.
Yes. Well, we're going to get into that later. But first, I want to talk about you. And I have a feeling that this is going to go well having you in the Wobcast because I already know that you have great taste and we have a connection because you've married someone from my hometown, Masika.
That's right.
So this is going to go well. We're going to be on the same wavelength. You started out as a cheerleader, if I'm not mistaken, right? And then you obviously progress and you're now the head coach.
That's right.
Tell us how that went.
I was a cheerleader for the Minnesota Vikings right out of college. Yeah. I graduated from the University of Minnesota and decided to come and try the purple and gold. Was blessed to be selected to the 1997 team.
Okay.
And then that season, at the end of the year, my director, Marianne Dallas, who had been here 7 years at that point, she was the second coach to be a part of the official Minnesota Vikings cheerleaders, called me into her office, and I thought she was going to maybe talk to me because I had applied to be team captain that year and was convincing my sister to audition with me. And when I went in, she said, "Tammy, I'm relocating to Florida, and I want you to take over the team." And I was amazed. I had high school coaching experience at that time. I had been a five-time state champion high school coach and college nationals choreographer, but it just really hadn't been on my radar that that would even be a possibility.
Yep.
And little did I know that that would be a life-changing moment for me, because I auditioned and interviewed with the marketing department soon thereafter. And 2 weeks later, I was running the program. And now it's been 15 years. This will be my 15th season as the head coach.
I would assume it's changed a lot. I mean, we talk to, you know, we go to the scouting combine. We talk to people who talk about how the scouting combine has changed over the years, and the Super Bowl has changed over the years, and coverage of the draft has changed. Has cheerleading slash dancing in the NFL changed a lot over the years too?
I think definitely. It's been twofold. Number one, I feel like even just within our organization, it's changed quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
My first year coaching, if I can tell you a little history about it, they asked me to select 10 girls to the dance team.
Yeah.
And we had a stunt team at that time as well. So we had two teams co-cheering at the games.
Yep.
And during that time, I just thought I was going to have 10 girls game day, and that would be it. We had an ownership change mid-season, and so in the middle of the year, Red McCombs came to me and said, "Love what you're doing. Think the team is great. We want maybe 24 more girls on the sidelines by the next game."
Wow!
I'm the youngest coach in the NFL at that time, really trying to prove myself as a rookie here in the program, and I was like, "Sure, I can do it." So we had an open casting call right in the middle of the season, rounded up some more girls, and got them up to game, and then the team really has evolved since then. We've added a million different programs. As you know, we've got our training program. We have an alumni team and an alumni association. We have a junior cheerleader program. We do a swimsuit calendar now. It took me years to convince them to do that, and now they, you know, everybody loves it.
Why weren't we doing this longer?
Right. Yeah. And we have a competitive all-star team. In fact, they just won a national title at competition. So the MVC have really become a business entity within the Vikings organization, and it's been such a pleasure to grow that and develop it. And now we have 35 girls on the team, not 10.
Yes, right, yeah. And so, okay, so let's talk about that, 35 girls. You had open auditions April 1st, right, here at Winter Park.
Yep.
And now you have a big event coming up this week on Wednesday, and then next week is final audition. So take us through that process and what it's like for you and for some of your judges.
Sure. So the open auditions began with, we had, I think it was 130 ladies this year at the open auditions.
Yep.
Highest quality talent we've had to date,
honestly,
for sure. Every lady that walked in the door was prepared. They knew what they were coming for. Mm-hmm. They were very competitive. So it was exciting to see that. We did four rounds of elimination that day. They learned a dance routine. Then they did some cheers and kicks.
Mm-hmm.
We did a new segment where we did a cross the floor technique, which was really a fun addition to our audition. And then we did a hip hop funk routine to end the day.
Okay.
We narrowed it down to 55 ladies. And then we interviewed every one of them over the next 24 hours after open auditions. And now we're in what we call training camp. So the ladies are training with us three nights a week, intense workouts, as well as learning tons of choreography, working on kind of self-improvement things that'll help them with confidence on stage and in their performance. So tomorrow night, our semifinals, that we is what we call our swimsuit spokesmodel competition. And so the ladies will be asked to come on stage, and we've taken their resumes and created questions for each one of them. They'll introduce themselves to the audience, so we get a chance to see how well spoken they are, how they present themselves on the mic, if they can handle that pressure. Because for some of them, performing is one thing, and they love being on the stage, but having to publicly speak in front of everybody is very nerve-wracking. And as ambassadors of the organization, they're going to have to do that.
Exactly.
So we test them on that. We ask them questions. Then we will bring them out in the swimsuit competition. And this is really an opportunity for us twofold. One, to see how physically fit they are, because when you are cheering and dancing on the sidelines of a game for 3 hours straight with literally minimal breaks, they have to be physically fit.
Yep.
And then secondly, we produce a swimsuit calendar each season. And so we want to know that in, you know, 2 to 3 weeks when we go to shoot our calendar, they're ready. They are going to be great representatives of health and fitness and strength for our team, and that we're going to be able to have them represent that. And then We'll have our final auditions at the Mall of America next Wednesday night, and that is really just a big showdown. Basically, they come out, they do solos, they do dance routines, they do modeling, and at the end of the evening, we know that from 55, we will be cutting down to 35 and announce them on the 19th.
Yeah. So Tammy Krause is our guest on the Wobcast today, Minnesota Vikings cheerleaders head coach. I mean, that's a rigorous process for you, and so when it's concluded at Mall of America next week, I mean, these ladies have been tested, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, they've been through the ringer in high pressure situations. And I think you make a good point about being able to speak publicly. And I think if you just look at your team from the surface level, one might say, why is that important? They look at it as just a game day thing, maybe. Mm-hmm. But like you said, they're ambassadors to the organization. You guys go on community visits each week. I know you guys have flown overseas to see some of the troops, and so it's really kind of an all-encompassing second job for these ladies and for you with them, right?
Absolutely. So this is basically a part-time job for the ladies, and as representatives, they're signing a one-year contract, and we're asking that they will commit to being a representative of the organization, yes, on the 10 home games, hopefully more if we're at the Super Bowl.
Yes.
But truly, it's not just game day. It's about the community involvement, the sponsorship relationships that we have. The ladies do approximately 400 appearances every year. As you mentioned, we do a lot of USO and military-type tours with the Department of Defense and some of the other military branches. And, you know, just this last season, we took almost a dozen tours. They were in Okinawa, Japan. They were in Guam. Mm-hmm. They were in Alaska, Colorado, many overseas trips. And then we also do the national, bases here in the United States. So that's a big endeavor for us, that we really like to show our support to the troops, go out, work with the families, work with the kids on the bases, and then also just bring a little bit of, you know, hometown to where they might be at for a post. We also feel like it's really important for us to be supporting the Viking Children's Fund events. So all of the Vikings events that they host, whether it be for charity and or sponsor relations, we try to have a presence at as well. So the ladies need to be the whole package. They need to be, you know, physically fit. They need to be a pretty face from a marketing standpoint. They need to be well-spoken as ambassadors for the organization. They need to be intelligent fans, because they're going to be interacting with the fans that are out there. And then they also need to be entertaining performers, because in the end, they all love to perform.
Right.
And game day is a big deal for them.
Yes. I mean, running out of the tunnel before the game, right? I mean, that all of them, when they talk about the highlight or what they're most looking forward to, it's that. And you can relate to that.
Absolutely.
So for Vikings fans listening right now to the Wobcast, you have to purchase tickets to this week's event. Is that right, Tim?
Right. So if you are interested, you can call the Vikings ticket office and you can pick up tickets. They're $10.
Okay.
You come out, you will enter through 7 Sushi Nightclub, and that is where we're going to be hosting our after party for our semifinal event. You'll enter into Pantages Theater, have a spectacular 2-hour semifinal event. We'll head back over to 7, and we're going to be announcing who our top 8 swimsuit candidates are.
Yeah.
And those ladies will compete for the cover model for our calendar this year.
Cool.
So it's a big event for the ladies.
And so do you have one cover?
Well, that's to be determined
okay,
this
all right,
year.
Okay,
yes.
Okay,
we actually have some exciting news coming out about our calendar, and so that's in production.
Okay. We won't spoil it.
Yes.
Keep going.
And then final auditions at the Mall of America is open to the public. It's free. It's in the rotunda on the east side, first floor. We would love to have everybody come out. And if you're unable to join us, it is going to be a live stream. So you can watch that online. Check it out, and you'll get to see the whole show.
It is a cool event, the final auditions at the mall. And I mean, I've gone to it now several years, because I think you get a lot of people who are in the mall shopping, didn't plan on coming to this.
Yes.
And they see it, right?
Absolutely.
And then you get a large number of people who are coming to the mall for this event because they know someone or they come to it every year, and people stack the multiple levels of the rotunda. I mean, there's 3 or 4 levels, and it's standing room only. Everyone is leaning over and watching this. I mean, a show. It's a show that you guys put on.
We call it the big show. And we don't announce who makes the team that night because, as you mentioned, the ladies go through quite a rigorous process.
Yeah.
And some of the teams in the NFL really don't do that. They spend, you know, a day, they kind of watch them. I call it more cattle call style. They kind of look at them, make an impression, and make a decision.
Yeah.
We really know that these ladies have to be great representatives, and so we want to spend time with them. We want to see, how do they take feedback? How do they work with criticism? How do they work in small groups? How are they on time? Do they follow through? Are they getting stressed under pressure?
Wow.
We get a chance to watch all of that and really analyze that. And then, yes, they get that final show in front of a huge audience, just like they would get if they were performing at the Metrodome. And we get to see how that goes and use that as part of our judging process.
Yeah. You have to channel your inner Rick Spielman and your inner Simon Cowell, right?
That's right.
You have to have a discerning eye for this. It's kind of cool. You mentioned how other teams do it. how many other teams have a cheerleading team that they use on game days? Because, sure, you know, we go to these other stadiums every other week for road games, and some teams do have them, and many teams don't. Why don't they?
Right. The majority of the teams in the NFL do have cheerleaders. I would say I think there's 26 to date that have cheerleading programs.
Yeah.
Some, like the Chicago Bears, used to have teams and now don't.
Yep.
Most of the teams that do not have never had official cheerleaders for their program. Yeah. And I think that my assumption, if I were going to make a judgment on why, there's a couple different reasons. One, I think some of them are just good old boys clubs. They are all about football, and that's all it is.
Yeah.
I think some of them, it maybe has to do with their marketing, you know, game day production. They just really don't like to put into that aspect of their business. They don't really have a focus in that area. Others, and actually most of them, they're outdoor stadiums.
Yeah.
It's freezing at where they're at. And so I think that they've maybe bantered back and forth whether it's an advantage to them or not to have the cheerleaders there. And they've found that for them, it just isn't what they want to do.
Yeah.
I think the programs, personally, of course I'm biased, that do have cheerleading programs find that it's a huge asset to their program. The fact that they have people that can be representatives when the players aren't present or when they're off season and out of town, we always have people here able to represent the organization to add that element on game day for entertainment, revenue generating opportunities that the cheerleaders bring in. So there's a lot of advantages to having the cheerleaders.
And they're ambassadors. They spread
absolutely,
you know, goodwill and Viking spirit. And when there's a lockout, they don't get locked out. So
that's
like,
right.
the cheerleaders were in use, especially last year during the lockout.
Yes.
Do you go ever visit other teams to get ideas from them, or do you ever have other coaches come and see your gals? How does that work?
Yes. So we actually have an NFL cheerleading coaches conference once a year.
Okay.
And we rotate each year. A different NFL team will host it. So this year we were actually in Dallas, so we got to see the new stadium there.
Cool.
Whoever's hosting will usually have their team do a small performance for us, so we get a chance to see their girls perform if we've never been to their game or to their stadium to perform. So I have seen quite a few of the teams over the last 15 years perform. I personally will try to take a trip once a year if possible. To go and kind of scout out and see what else is out there, to do an analysis, to get ideas, to compare ourselves quality-wise to the other programs that are out there. And I also know that other teams do the same. We had the Arizona Cardinals last year, had a couple of their girls come, and they call and let you know that they're coming, and we try to host them and make them feel really welcome. Minnesota Nice.
That's
and,
cool. Yeah, we're
and,
good at that.
Get a chance to see what our program is all about.
One last quick thing before we go. Run through one more time just so people can know what's happening this week and next week in your audition process.
Okay, so if you are available, we'd love to see you join us tomorrow night. We're going to be at Pantages Theater right next to 7 downtown Minneapolis, having our swimsuit competition
Wednesday night,
and that's $10. You can call the ticket office 612-33-VIKES to pick up tickets for that event, or you can get them at the door. Then Wednesday the 18th, starting at 7 p.m. as well, we're going to be at the Mall of America on the east side in the Rotunda, and we're going to be hosting our final auditions there. It's about an hour and a half show. It's basically a showdown of the ladies, the 55 that are left, and from that we'll pick the 35 ladies. So if you tune in to Vikings.com on the 19th, you'll be able to see who was selected to represent the team this year.
That's awesome. Thanks, Tammy. This is a really busy week for you, so I'm glad you stopped in. It was awesome.
Thanks.
All right, the last topic before we let you go. I really want to reach out, fans, to you. We appreciate you always coming back to the Wobcast and listening, but for you Minnesota sports fans, this has been an awful period of time. I don't know how many years you want to put on it, 3 or 4 or 5 years. It feels like Loserville, USA, here in Minnesota. So we just want fans, we want you to know that we sympathize with you. It's been tough. I mean, think about the Vikings, 6-10 in 2010, 3-13 last year. It's been tough to deal with. You look at the Twins, they lost 99 games last season. They're off to an 0-4 start as of this recording this season. Gophers football, a tough go in the Big Ten. Basketball, a disappointing end of the season after starting out very strong. Gopher hockey falls flat in the Frozen Four in the national semifinals after a strong run in the postseason. The Wild start off really hot. They're not looking very good. The Wolves, we all got really excited about the Wolves early this season with Ricky Rubio and Kevin Love blowing up, and they sustain some injuries and kind of fall off, and they're not in playoff contention, and they're finishing the season terribly. We feel for them. And you know, I mentioned injuries. That's really what it comes down to, I think. The crux of this thing, we don't want to make excuses, but the losing is bad enough, but how about you rip open the wound and throw some salt on it? Adrian Peterson injures his knee. Ricky Rubio, the same injury, relatively the same injury, injures a ligament in his knee. He goes down midway through the season. And at one point, four of the Wolves' top five players were out of action at the same time. Pretty tough. I mean, they're hovering around 500 when Rubio goes down. Now they're way below 500, limping to the finish. We feel for them. Trevor Mbakwe was the Golden Gophers basketball standout. He got hurt early in the season after the Gophers start out very strong. Joe Mauer and Justin Morneau, we know about their injury struggles. The Minnesota Wild, I don't know all their players, but I mean, they start out as one of the best teams in the NHL this season. Now they're limping to the finish line. So it's a tough go, Minnesota sports fans, and we feel for you. But we appreciate your passion and the fact that you keep coming back. You listen to the Wobcast. And right now, we're going to make a pledge to you to try and be not 3-13 next season. Like, that was bad enough. We're going to be better. I'm not saying we're going to challenge for a Super Bowl or remind you of the 2009 Vikings. We're rebuilding this team. But Minnesota sports fans deserve better, and I think you're going to get better from the Vikings in 2012. So be positive. Thank you for your passion. We hope you keep it going. We're going to rebuild this thing, and we're going to do it with you. Thank you for sticking with us. With that said, that is it for us today. I'm Mike Wobshaw. Thanks again for listening. We're going to leave you with a blast from the past from a group called 702. Take it away.